Happy Monday, everybody. What's going on? Welcome into another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN Network, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully, you're having a fantastic Monday. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me live on our FTN Network YouTube page. If you are, smash the like button, subscribe to our FTN Network YouTube page over in Game Plus Network. Always a fantastic lineup over there. Mayo Media Network, the Pat Mayo Experience, After Mean Streets, All in Football with Jake Seeley, also on Game Plus Network, the Fantasy Footballers. Lots of great content over on Game Plus. We're happy to be part of the family. We got a jam-packed show here today. The show also available on iTunes and Spotify for those who just like to listen to podcasts on the road. We got some MLB picks. We got some NHL picks. We're going to dive into the NBA championship odds. Yes, way too early look at the NBA championship odds for next year. And we're going to preview our NFL team previews. That makes sense. We're going to continue our NFL team previews. It's a Monday here. We're going to have some fun. Bats across the board. I see some people hanging out. We do appreciate you guys hanging out with us here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. So, yes, lots to get to here today. As I mentioned, we're going to continue the NFL team previews, and we're sticking inside the NFC East. We wrapped up Friday with the Dallas Cowboys. It was the first team we looked at. They're the favorites in the NFC East. Today, we're going to look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who surprised many last season, myself included. Not Emory Hunt, also can be found on Game Plus Network, Football Game Plan. He jumped on this show last year, and I said, listen, you could talk about any team that you want, any player that you want as like a surprise team or just somebody that you're really feeling that maybe the community isn't feeling. And he said the Philadelphia Eagles, when many people came on this show, and I agreed with their takes, said that the Eagles would be one of the worst teams in football. They had in terms of the NFC East, they had the worst odds to win the division. They had a 6.5 team implied win total, and they cruised past it last year. 6.5 was plus money. They won 9 games. They made the playoffs. They got bounced early against the Tampa Bay Bucks and Tom Brady, and that was expected. But they made the postseason in what was Jalen Hurts' first full season as a quarterback, of course, year number 2. And they made the playoffs. And it wasn't a team that really scored a lot of points. Their defense kind of just, it really wasn't all that good. I think they allowed the second highest completion rate to quarterbacks. There was a stretch last year, 5 or 6 game stretch, where 5 or 6, at least 5, don't quote me on the 6, had a completion percentage of at least 80% against the Eagles. The secondary couldn't stop anyone. They were the number 1 team in the NFL in rushing yards. The offensive line is strong. They made some nice additions in the offseason. Hassan Reddick, A.J. Brown at the draft, James Bradbury. Team looks pretty good. They got a win total of 9.5. We'll dive into their props. I'll give some love to the prop shop because there's some different odds out there for them to win the division. I'm seeing like plus 230 over at PointsBet. DraftKings got them at like plus 160. So prop shop's your friend. You don't have to go searching around Google. Treat the prop shop free over at ftnbets.com. Like Google, type in whatever you want. All the odds will show up across all the books, and it'll save you a lot of time. But we'll dive into the Eagles from a betting standpoint. We'll also take a look at some of their fantasy football targets this year as well. Can Jalen Hurts be a top 5 quarterback? What do we expect from A.J. Brown now that he's not in Tennessee and he goes over to Philadelphia? Do we expect a little dip in production in terms of target share, air yard share, free tools over at FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com? So we'll dive into all of that. Miles Sanders, do you even want a piece of Miles Sanders? 0 touchdowns last year in the regular season. Going as roughly running back 30 in like the 7th or 8th round of best ball leagues and high stakes leagues over at NFFC leagues. Not bad. Honestly, not bad. We'll talk about that. I know that the expectations, you may not want to go into your draft with Miles Sanders, but I think there's a strategy to employ here when it comes to Miles Sanders. So we'll talk about the Eagles in a little bit. Of course, we will dive into game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals happening tonight in Tampa Bay. My goodness, how good do the Avs look? How good do the Colorado Avalanche look? A 7-0 beatdown? Holy God. Oh my goodness, game 3 tonight. Hopefully it's a close game. I hope it's a close game as well. Daniel H. in the house. It wasn't Vasilevskiy's fault as so much as the guys in front of him in the last game. I'm seeing that across the industry. I'm hearing it on shows and podcasts that Andre Vasilevskiy hasn't been himself, and that's fine. You can say that all you want, but this is a team in Tampa that's getting absolutely dominated at 5-5. Dominated. Absolutely dominated. Like, how many more times do I need to say it? It's not Vasilevskiy. He stopped three breakaways in that game too. He made a couple saves in tight. Tampa has zero goals, getting just absolute, I'll say it one more time, dominated at 5-on-5. And just to think of this Lightning team, like, they've been so good. We've seen them now dominate other teams throughout, right? Two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. They made easy work of the Florida Panthers, swept them, right? One of the better teams at 5-on-5, highest scoring team in the league, swept them. Three goals in four games, Florida. They're down 2-0 against the Rangers, but I don't think anybody really counted them out because they were so strong at 5-on-5 and they had their way against the Rangers. They went back home and then they won two straight. They ended up winning four straight and won that series. I don't think we can just completely write off the Lightning just yet, but they are getting outworked. Like, the speed is absolutely a difference maker here for Colorado. We'll bring up some 5-on-5 stats. We'll dive into some Colorado stats. We'll kind of pick on Nikita Kucherov as he's just been a no-show here in the first two games of the series. But if it wasn't for Vasilevskiy in game two, it would have been 11-0. I don't know, maybe not 11. Maybe 10. Like, honestly, it may have been 10. It's crazy. Dude, last game should have been like 15-0. Hey, there you go, George, saying 15-0. It's crazy. The speed that the Avs have, and they're doing it without their number two center, Nazem Kadri, and a top four defenseman on their squad in Samuel Girard. The speed that they bring to the table, I've never seen Ryan McDonagh look so slow, so sluggish. He usually takes that extra second, maybe a fake pass and spin around and, like, you know, off the boards or look for the outlet or partner to partner. It's just not there. It was Colorado was just on them and just the speed. I know Victor Hedman is probably not playing 100%, but how many times have we seen that guy fumble the puck in this series? You just don't see it too often. So, yeah. Vasilevskiy hasn't looked himself. He's let in a couple soft goals, but my goodness, this is not on him. But the Lightning have been really good on home ice. They've been really good at making adjustments in series, but we'll see. We'll dive into it. We got some props, got some picks. I think if Tampa's going to win a game, it's going to be tonight. They got to. They can't go down 3-0. Daily Handle agrees. He thinks Tampa does win tonight. So we'll dive into that a little bit. We got some MLB props and some picks as well. Pretty good slate in Major League Baseball. We got the Jays and the White Sox. Teams battling for, you know, playoff spots, wild card spots. Jays holding it down. A big comeback win last night against the Yankees. We got Jose Barrios and Lance Lynn. Lynn got roughed up in his first start since returning. Actually, he only made one start. He landed on the IL before the season started. And he got roughed up against a very weak Detroit Tigers team. He gave up 10 hits, 3 earned runs. He just got rocked. It just wasn't a good outing for him. We'll dive into that game. We also have like a Shane McClanahan day. We know we love Shane McClanahan on this show. He's cleared a strikeout prop in every single start but one. He's got a matchup against the Yankees, up against Gerrit Cole. That should be phenomenal. I think we have a game total on that one. It's 6.5. Also, like Giants and Braves, it's a pretty good matchup as well. Nobody really gives any respect to the San Francisco Giants. I remember on this show, after the MLB trade deadline, the Giants had the best record in baseball. They were top five in every offensive category, just crushing lefties. And they were 25-1 to win the World Series. Nobody was getting, no chance. That's it. And they did get bounced early in the playoffs against the Dodgers, but they won 107, 108 games. And then heading into this season, they had their win total was 83.5. It was third in the division, third in with the Dodgers and the Padres checking in at second in the NL West. Yes, just mixed up my divisions there. It's the NL West. Nobody's giving them any credit. They're on their way to surpassing that 83.5 win total. They're still one of the better teams in baseball against lefties, going up against Max Fried today. They got their ace and Webb on the bump for San Fran. We'll dive into the Red Sox because I do believe that there's a lot of money to be had with the Red Sox. And, you know, they got three hitters there that are just crushing righties. They got a dream matchup against Detroit here today, and we'll dive into Mike Trout just a little bit as well, who had 5 home runs in a series against Seattle. 5 home runs, and it was a 5-game series. It was odd to have like Thursday, Friday, doubleheader on Saturday and then Sunday, but 5 home runs for Trout. I don't know what Seattle's doing pitching to him. I don't get it. He said after the first game when he went yard, and I think he's got like 30 some odd bombs in Seattle in his career, like 52 or 53 against them overall. But he said like just the backdrop, whatever it is, the backdrop, he just sees the ball well. Why are they pitching to him? I just don't get it. Nobody else on that team is hitting. Don't let him beat you. I saw this from MLB stats and info on the Twitter machine. Mike Trout, first player in MLB history to hit 4 game-winning home runs in a single series, a home run that puts his team ahead to stay ahead. Mike Trout getting it done there. And also the Warriors stuff. And we will break because, of course, I've gone a little long. I've missed you guys. There was no show on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday here on Game Plus. So I wanted to dive into a little bit with the Warriors, a shout out to them and the NBA odds. So we'll break, Tyler. We'll dive into the Warriors. We'll take a quick look at, you know, way too early look at the NBA odds. Kyrie's in the news, of course. And we'll dive into the NFL stat of the day, which is surrounded around Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans, who seems to get really no love or respect in the fantasy community. Maybe this year will change with Chris Godwin sidelined for the first few weeks of the season. So a lot more to get to here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. I actually meant to mention the golf over the weekend too. There's just so much off the top of the show. I'm trying to keep things balanced out here. It's a new me, Game Plus Network, Anthem Sports Entertainment. I promise it's a new me. No rushing towards the end. I love this from George though. Shout out Matthew Fitzmagic. Story means Willie Z putting stroke is nausea. Man, Willie Z, my guy. I'm going right back to him in the Open. I'm going right back to him. It doesn't matter. It's crazy. So shout out to Pat Mayo, who came on the show. We talked about him in the opening block. He talked about two golfers. He talked about Scottie Scheffler, which, you know, he's right there. And certainly I tailed Mayo. And, you know, we got a little, I don't want to say we got unlucky. He was close. Scheffler was close. And Mayo was right with his logic on Monday. I think we talked about him at 14-1, and he said maybe closer to round one on Thursday morning, he would get up to like 18, 17, and he did get to 17. So I waited out with Mayo, and I was in on that as well. But, you know, Willie Z is somebody I've talked a lot about on the show, and by all means, I'm no golf expert. I mean, I play the game, I'm rocking the shirt. I mean, it's just, I'm trying to look the part, right? But honestly, I'm not giving out golf picks, and I'm just betting Willie Z all the time. It's just, I bet him every major. I seem to bet him almost every weekend. Every time we have a golf expert come on the show, I always bring up Zalatoris to them. I always do. I'm a sucker for this guy. I think what he's done so far in the short career that he's had is pretty spectacular, honestly. He's had 9 majors. He's come top 10 in 6 of them. One he withdrew. And he's 3 or 4 strokes away from 3 majors. Like, he's been so close, especially in the U.S. Open. The putting stroke, and it's, I can't watch. I get super nervous watching this guy putt for myself, not even having money on the line, just watching him putt. I just can't do it. I sit back and I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is going to go in. He's shaking. I know it's in his head. He's a stud. I mean, it's going to come, I think. You know, he's working on it all the time. He just seems to be right there. I had him from a couple of months ago, like 45-1. I was sweating that one out over the weekend. But a shout out to Matthew Fitzpatrick, who got it done. Yeah, big W for Fitz. Yeah, Will Z from Daily Handle needs to get better on the green, and he will. I do believe it as well. I mean, he's still young. I like his iron play, and, you know, he's to have this much success this early on in your career in the 9 majors, as I said, and the 6 top 10s is pretty spectacular. So I'm going to have no problem going back to him, and, you know, he may break my heart yet again. St. Andrews, baby. Going right back to Rory, and God bless another top 5 major finish. That's right, Rory was there hanging around on Sunday as well. So that's all the golf for now. I think it's the Travelers this weekend. We could dive into it potentially on Wednesday. We'll get somebody from FTN Bets jumping in here. Bogey Free is good. Bogey Free is it's a free show, and it's good, and it's available on our FTN Network YouTube page as well. I mean, all the guys are super sharp. They're diving into props and outright winners. They dive into, you know, golf stats. It can help you if you're a DFS player or just like you love the game you're learning a thing or two. You can sit back and listen to them. It's not a lengthy show, and they'll dive through some of the statistics, and it's good stuff. So NBA, I want to give a little bit of love to the Warriors as well. I mean, 4 championships in the past 8 years for the Golden State Warriors, and 6 finals in the last 8 years as well. A couple years ago, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. You know, Klay got hurt and suffered a couple setbacks, and then Curry obviously suffered that injury, and then Draymond had some injuries as well. And certainly this year down the stretch, he didn't play a lot of basketball for the Warriors. But I mean, what they're doing is it's special, and you know, it's something that you could tell your kids, your grandkids, right? You see it more in the NBA than the NHL. Now we're talking about the Lightning trying to make, you know, 3 in a row. We saw the Wings do it a couple times, the Penguins a couple times here, you know, since the calendar turned to 2000. You got to go all the way back to like the 80s with the Islanders and the Oilers, and of course the Canadians and the Flyers, a lot of teams, you know, making runs. But in the NBA, you see it a little bit more, like the Celtics and the Lakers. You've seen runs from those two squads, you know, back in the day, you know, not too long ago, you know, the Spurs and the Heat, when, you know, they formed the big 3 there in Miami. You know, they said that they're going to win like 6 or 7 championships, but they won a couple, but they did go to like 3 or 4 finals there in a 5-year stretch. And then this Warriors team, it's extremely impressive. And it's not like they just kind of, okay, we'll grab this guy. Like the KD thing was, I wish it didn't happen. You know, I really just wanted to see that rubber match between Cleveland and the Warriors, like LeBron and Curry, and then KD went over there and it's kind of unfair because they're just like a super team. But with so many teams around the league trying to build that super team, and you know, the Nets and KD and Kyrie and the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis, and you know, you're just seeing it across the board. I shout out to Milwaukee, who kind of built through the draft as well. You know, I think acquiring Jrue Holiday kind of set them over the top. But Klay and Curry and Draymond, these guys were all drafted. They're all drafted, a really good draft, and they've kept them together, and they've kind of battled through adversity with and I didn't really like the fact that Steve Kerr, who's got 9 rings now, by the way, as a coach and a player, and of course I just glossed over the Bulls and their runs. You see, like I said, you see it more in the NBA. But just very impressive what the Warriors have been able to do. And when they said after, like, Curry and Klay and Kerr, nobody, you know, thought that they would get, that's lies. We said on this show at plus 750 with that whole squad back together that they would make noise, that they would be right there again. They were number one in offense efficiency and defense efficiency the first couple months into the season. That was without Klay. And I know Klay didn't have a great NBA Finals, and Steph finally got his NBA Final MVP, and good for him, right? Because it was Iguodala the 1 year, and KD had a couple as well. And I thought that Andrew Wiggins had a phenomenal playoff run, and especially in the NBA Finals. I mean, throughout the entire playoffs, he was number one in plus-minus. He was great cleaning up off the glass. He had some key shots. He played really good defense. A shout-out to the Kansas Jayhawk boy. He could have made a case for him, but I thought the pivotal game was Game 4 when the Celtics were up 2-1 in that series, and Curry went off. And then, you know, they won that big Game 4, and they went back to Golden State, and kind of the rest is history, as they say. But I'm just really impressed with what the Warriors brought to the table, and to face that adversity after being, you know, with all the injuries and, you know, getting Poole, which was a nice contribution as well. But to have that three stay together, credit to Kerr. Nobody ever talks about their defense. The defense was legit, absolutely amazing. Celtics kind of got in their way a little bit with some turnovers, but you got to give Golden State a whole lot of credit there to get it done and force some of those turnovers as well. And, you know, I say all the time on this show, and you know, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I'm a big believer in learning how to lose before you learn how to win. You can go to Tampa Bay when they got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-0 after like a 60-some-odd win season, and it took them a little bit to get going, and here they are, right? And the same thing with Colorado. I mean, Daniel H., you said you're a longtime Avs fan here. I mean, how frustrated have you been over the past couple of seasons? This team was favored to win the Cup in each of the last 3 or 4 years, and they get bounced in the second round, learning through some of that adversity, and now they're here. And the same thing with the Celtics, young squad. You know, first time head coach, and I thought they held their own. They played really good basketball, but they went up against a team that really down the stretch, especially in Game 5 and then into Game 6 when the games were kind of tight, and into the second half, you just saw the experience take over, and there was a couple just, you know, unforced errors from the Boston Celtics side of things. So credit to the Warriors. Unbelievable run. Not going to count them out again. Tyler, we got the early 2022-23 NBA championship odds here. Of course, it's usually the case, right? You know, the teams that were in the finals are up near the top. Warriors at 6-1, Celtics at 6-1. You know, I'm broken record to say this too many times. A shout out to a guy, Frank Brank, who had the Celtics on this show at 40-1. We had a championship future 40-1 for the Celtics. We also had the Warriors at plus 750 as well. But the Clippers and the Nets, this is a joke, right, to see these guys. I know Kawhi is going to be back, but I just don't believe in this in the Clippers squad. At 6-1, it's not I think it's a sucker bet. The Nets, too, shams from The Athletic reporting that Kyrie could be on the way out. I mean, he's kind of mulling over his player option. There's some rumors that he's interested in potentially the Lakers or, you know, the Knicks. Imagine if we saw a sign and trade. The NBA is crazy. It's chaos. There's always chaos, right? I talk about super teams and teams, players just jumping around. Imagine if we saw a sign and trade where Kyrie went back to LA, but went back to his boy LeBron, which he never should have left Cleveland. He should have stuck with him. Doesn't matter. Went back there, and then Russ was traded the other way and went to go play with KD again. It would just be chaos. The Nets is a sucker bet as well. I haven't seen a team that was favored or like third shortest odds to win the NBA championship. And they were in 9th place in the Eastern Conference. We all knew that they were going to win their play-in game, but still. And then they got swept by the Celtics. I just think it's a sucker bet. Can we bring that up one more time, Tyler, as I just rambled on? I think the Bucks are interesting at plus 750. They're going to hang around as well. The Suns at 9-1. The Grizzlies, one of those teams, right? Learn how to lose before you learn how to win. They ran into the Warriors. There was no jaw there for a majority of that series. you know, the Mavericks 16-1. I do like the Christian Wood addition. They really didn't give up a whole lot to get him. They need to, you know, create more around Luka. They need some help. You know, the Lakers at 20-1, kind of interesting. You know, Anthony Davis clearly needs to be healthy. I thought it was actually very comical to hear Stephen A. Smith say that if he could take anyone, he would take Anthony Davis over Luka and over Joker, which is absolutely a joke. He did say if Anthony Davis was healthy, and that's a huge if. And then I just threw the Pelicans on there at 40-1. You know, Zion, they made the McCollum addition as well. I think it's a decent long shot, but ultimately I don't believe that they have the pieces to make a legitimate run in the Western Conference. The Utah Jazz are in there at 40-1 as well. But wanted to bring that up. I think as long as this Warriors team is healthy, right, they're still going to be the, and I'm not breaking any news, they're still going to be the team to beat, absolutely. So enough about all that. We got a long time to talk about, you know, NBA championship odds. The draft is soon. We'll dive into that too. We'll have somebody come on. We'll get into some NBA props. No Daily Handle is following that as well. He probably has some NBA props for you. Kyrie to the Clippers? Like, what? What are you, Kyrie and Kawhi and Paul George? Like, talk about a super team, right? That's another example of the super team. Kawhi left a really good situation in Toronto. They just won the championship. I get he's from there. They had a really good situation there in Toronto, and he went to LA. LA gave up all kinds of picks. Paul George, who hasn't really won a whole lot in this league, and then Kyrie. I don't know. I can't get into it too much. The stat of the day is Mike Evans. Look at these numbers. Without Chris Godwin, 8 games without Chris Godwin since 2020, 9.6 targets, 87 yards per game, 6.4 receptions, 1.13 touchdowns, 218 fantasy points. It's a full point setting, 1.4 a catch. Mike Evans last year in a half point setting was wide receiver 8 overall. His fantasy points per game, 14.1, wide receiver 8. He's getting drafted as wide receiver 9 over the last 6 weeks, NFFC high stakes league. He's got a min pick of 16 and a max of 26, and his ADP is at 25. You know, Mike Evans, it's interesting. I said this to a couple people in the Slack when our guy George made this graphic for us. Makes a lot of special graphics for us. And the stat of the day is always tweeted from our FTN network account. I try to bring it onto the show as well, as we're just, you know, we're really getting into football mode now that the NHL is wrapping up and the NBA is done, right? It's really football mode in the summer days. We have some MLB props and picks on this show. But Mike Evans, I said it the other day, is that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. And of course, Tom Brady had a special season over the past couple of years. Special. I mean, go over to Tampa in his first year and win a Super Bowl. And then last year, led the NFL in attempts and passing yards and passing touchdowns. And I think really should have been the MVP. I really believe that Aaron Rodgers had a great season. Just, I thought that Brady's numbers were better. But even before that with Jameis Winston and like Fitzpatrick at times, you look at Mike Evans. This guy's had 1,000 yards every season from 2014. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 years, 1,000 yards every year. He's had at least 8 touchdowns in every season but 2. 14 last year, 13. So the big bump, of course, from Brady, but he had 12 as a rookie. He had 12 in his third year in the NFL, and he doesn't get a ton of targets. Like, 2016 stands out. I believe that was Jameis's big year. Well, picks and yards. But 2016 stands out as 173 targets, but 114 last year, 109 the year before that, 118, you know, 70 some odd catches, 74 last year, 70 before that, you know, yards per target, 8.8 healthy for his career, yards per reception, 15.4. You know, he's a big body that just goes up and gets it. He's a red zone threat. There were moments, I think, in 2020 when he was just kind of touchdown dependent to start the season. Like, the yards weren't really there. There was a couple games where he had like one or two grabs, but he had like a touchdown. I think there were 2 games a couple years ago where he had 2 catches for like 2 yards, and they were just, and the 2 catches were touchdowns. And now, of course, people will be in on him a little bit because Chris Godwin is going to miss some time. But Russell Gage is on the squad. We don't know about Rob Gronkowski. We've got Leonard Fournette, who I think is a really good fantasy target as well, inside the top 5 among running backs and catches and targets and receiving yards. He's going to be the goal line back there. No Ronald Jones. I don't expect White, who they drafted, to really get in there and steal a lot of touches from him. It is Leonard Fournette's backfield. Brady trusts him. And Brady checks, as we said, you know, leading the league in NFL passing attempts and yards and touchdowns. So I think a lot of these Bucks, you know, Russell Gage, I think, is a pretty good target. Godwin, I don't know if I want to get into Godwin. You know, if he falls down boards, I got enough shares of him in keeper leagues and dynasty leagues. But if he falls down draft boards, I may take a shot. It's just really risky to take a shot on a guy that's already hurt in case that, you know, that setback happens. Like for Godwin, for an example, as we're on the Bucks and we're previewing the Eagles lately or later, Godwin's wide receiver 21, min pick of 34 at a max of 88. So he's fallen, you know, 88 picks is not bad in around that range. But to take a guy inside the top 50 picks, you know, who may not be ready until, you know, October, there's some reports maybe November, who knows, right? With Chris Godwin, he suffered that knee injury last year in the playoffs, and I think he had the surgery late. But Mike Evans is a strong, strong target, linked to Brady, back another year. Even if Godwin returns, I think he's a really good target. Check out FTN data. All the good stuff over there as well. I see, is a Kyrie conversation happening here? Are we sure Kyrie wants to go to the edge of the earth in L.A.? Uh-huh. George likes it. Great line. Great line. As long as it's flat. Great line, George. Great line, buddy. Okay, we're going to break. We'll dive into the NHL. Why not? Let's get into Game 3 tonight. Daniel H. is hanging by. Big Avs fan. We'll dive into Game 3. Also have some MLB props, and we'll dive into the Eagles as well here on Mean Streets. You're watching it on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. I see some friendly faces here, and the artist. Want to give you a shout-out as well. Appreciate you dropping by the show. You said you've been busy lately, showing some love on the grind. No bets. Let's go Avs, though. We got Troy Nowak in the house as well. The King, Chris Meany. Appreciate you guys are just too kind. You guys are too kind. We do appreciate that. And Tyler, you checking that up for, you know, friends of the show that have hung out with us. Dangle Betselli will be back tomorrow, of course. You know, not here really to break it down at length with Eric Younger, to dive into it here now in a second, but also, you know, will be available tomorrow. We'll preview Game 4 and recap Game 3. Honestly, from a hockey fan standpoint, I want Tampa Bay to win this one tonight. I know if you're an Avs fan, or maybe you're a Leafs fan and you're just like, you know what, screw the, you can just be like a hockey fan in general and you're like, screw the Lightning. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of their crap. I don't want them to win anymore. I'm done with them. I get that. But I want to see more hockey, and I want to see Tampa get back into this series. It's really tough to back the Lightning right now. It is extremely tough. Tyler, let's bring up some 5-5 numbers in case you haven't watched a lot of the hockey. It's been a whole lot of Avs, especially in Game 2. This is courtesy of Natural Stat Trick. Look at this. I mean, the shot attempts at 104-66. The shots 52-24. So they own, again, just 5-5, 68% of the shots. The scoring chances, 48-25. They own 65% of the scoring chances. The high danger chances, 20-9. Tampa Bay had one high danger chance at 5-5 in Game 2. A high danger chance basically right in front of the net, in the slot, hash marks in, and it was from Corey Perry. So 20-9, the high danger chances at 69%. Oh, so nice. The high danger chances in favor of the Avs. And then you see the goals there at 7-1. And the expected goals for at 5-5, 72% of the expected goals in this series belong to the Avalanche. This is crazy. It's the speed. It really is the speed. Tampa wants to hold the line and get in on the line. And at times you see them do it successfully, but most of the time the Avs are just blown right by them. Tampa, I'm sure their game plan is to, you know, stand up at the blue line and maybe get Colorado to get pucks in deep, and then they can turn that way. But Colorado just comes at them so fast. I'm seeing McDonough and Hedman and Chernak. They're just turning the puck over. It's puck management. I do, you know, with all that said, and Daily Handle says, I bet the Avs plus 4.5 parlayed with this over 6.5 plus 130. I think Tampa wins tonight. It's crazy to even say it, and I'm hearing it in my head, watching what I saw in Game 2 and the dominant performance from Colorado. And let's bring up some of these other numbers just from the Colorado standpoint. Oh, you got this. It's nice, Tyler. What you had there is nice. We can flash that up one more time. So it's basically a pick 'em here. I mean, you're thinking to yourself, wow, I can get Colorado minus 108. I know that they're on the road. The total's at 6. You can get over 6 at plus money. You know, if they get into – the over is hitting in each of the first two games. I don't think that Tampa wants to get into that kind of shootout. I feel like if it's a 6-5 game or something like that, it probably does favor Colorado. But Tampa's been really good on home ice. They lost early in the playoffs on home ice to the Leafs. They lost a couple games on home ice, but ever since that, they've been reeling off wins. You know, they swept Florida. They won all their home games after being down 2-0 to the Rangers. And they've been really good on home ice over the past couple of seasons. Andrei Vasilevskiy, you know, we can say that he hasn't looked himself, but as I said off the top of the show, it hasn't been all him. He's made some highlight reel saves despite letting in 7 and Cooper leaving him in for all those. I mean, he said after game one, you know, when it kind of got out of hand early, he said there was no way he was going to pull him. But he was asked a question too, like if it did continue to get out of hand or there's another game would get out of hand, that he wouldn't pull him. And they would ask Vasilevskiy if he wanted to be pulled, and it would be up to Vasilevskiy. So Vasilevskiy at that point, 5-0 after two periods, I thought, man, they probably rest this guy, you know, give him a, you know, the period off here, kind of regroup, go back home on Monday night. And, you know, maybe he's a little bit more refreshed, but they left him in for all that. And I think it's okay, actually, you know, just to see the shooters a little bit more, the tendency of some of these guys. And he did make some key saves. That was very interesting with the Avs standpoint when they're up 6-0 to roll out their first power play unit up 6-0. I get it's the Stanley Cup Finals. The game was already done. You know, maybe trying to get Nathan McKinnon going a little bit. He has 2 assists. Like, the Avs have scored, what, 11 goals here in the 2 games, and Nathan McKinnon has none of them? Crazy. Let's look at some of these Avs stats, because they're very impressive. Valeri Nichushkin, 16 attempts. This is all strengths. 16 attempts. He's got 11 scoring chances. He's got 11 shots on goal. He's leading everybody, you know, in the playoffs, and especially the Avs. And, you know, definitely will get, the Lightning numbers are very underwhelming. Talk about them in a second. But 3 goals and an assist. He had multiple opportunities to get the hat trick. Nathan McKinnon, again, hasn't done a whole lot here. 2 assists, 19 attempts, 11 scoring chances, 8 shots on goal for Nathan McKinnon. And, you know, I think it's only a matter of time, really, you know, before he kind of gets going. I think for the most part, at 5-5, they've done a really good job against Nathan McKinnon. He only has 7 shot attempts and 5 shots at 5-5. Nichushkin has 14 shot attempts and 9 shots at 5-5. Cale Makar, 16 attempts. He had 9 attempts in game one and 0 shots. He scored the 2 goals. One was a shorty, one was a power play goal. Man, terrific. He's just unbelievable. I could talk for 46 minutes on how amazing Cale Makar is. 8 scoring chances and 4 shots. Mikko Rantanen, not a big volume shooter, but he's got 5 apples here in this series. 5 shots on goal, 4 scoring chances. And then I threw in Gabriel Landeskog. Burakovsky, you know, had another goal, and he's kind of shown up as well. But the reason I threw in Gabriel Landeskog, we're looking for goals tonight, and we're looking for shots for shot props and things like that. You know, he's got 9 attempts, 7 scoring chances, 5 shots. He's got the goal and an assist. But ultimately, like, his high danger chances are right there from courtesy of natural stat trick. I mean, he's got 5 high danger chances at 5-5. So that's right there among the leaders. Nichushkin leads the way. And then all strengths, he's kind of just the way he situates himself in front of the net on the power play. He's getting rebounds, deflections, opportunities as well. So at all strengths for Gabriel Landeskog, we're looking at 11 scoring chances, which is 4th in the team, and 9 scoring chances and then 5 high danger chances. So he's really getting a lot of opportunity as well. I mean, I'm probably confusing you with all of this stuff. Let's dive into what Tampa Bay is doing. Nothing at 5-5. Take a look at this. I tweeted this out last night. George made it for us. Nikita Kucherov's 2 shot attempts and 0 shots at 5-5 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Finals. 29 players have more shot attempts than Kucherov at 5-5, and 31 players have at least 1 shot. I gave you the Avs leaders. I didn't bother with Tampa because I wanted to save some time for our guy George not to mess around here. These are the shot attempts leaders for the Lightning. Sergachev, 7. Ryan McDonough, 6. Victor Hedman, 6. Jan Ruda, 5. Those are defensemen. They get nothing offensively from their guys. Braden Point, clearly not himself. He's got 1 shot attempt and 0 shots in the 2 games for the first 2 games of this series. It's really tough for me to try to talk you guys into Tampa, and I'm not here to do that. I am leaning with the Bolts today. I think that they win the game and get back into the series. I do have a lean to the over at 6 just because of the so much offense that we've seen. I think that Tampa Bay finds a way to win on home ice, but this is what I'm going for in terms of props. And I think that there's, you know, it's a little safer to dive into some of this stuff. So Nichushkin, like, how can we ignore Nichushkin? He was -130 in game 2 for a point. I think we can go right back to him just because the shot attempts are there. And ultimately, you see in the bottom, +230 for a goal. I mean, that's pretty significant for a guy that has, that again, 19 shot attempts, 11 scoring chances at all strengths here for Valeri Nichushkin. And he does lead the team in high danger chances as well. So 11 shots leads the way. He's got 4 points, got the 3 goals. you know, I think that he hits a score sheet again. He's playing on that second unit, but I really do like his chances to hit the score sheet tonight. And I know it's a lot of abs, and you're just like, wow, you just gave me Tampa Bay. You're leaning Tampa, but you think all the, but I am leaning the over. So I still think as Vasilevskiy could be the best goalie on the planet, and he's still probably going to let in a couple here tonight. So Mikko Rantanen on that top power play, you know, playing with Nichushkin, it could be a goal from Nichushkin again, assisted by Rantanen. He's got the five helpers there at minus 125. Nathan MacKinnon as well, the two helpers at minus 112. I just think that's decent odds for MacKinnon and the ice time that he gets and the amount of times he shoots the puck on goal. You know, some slap passes. I've noticed that Colorado's done a really good job of that to try to get Vasilevskiy moving a little bit. Andre Palat has really been Tampa's best player in the series, and he's not doing a whole lot. But for him, minus 130 for a point. And then Victor Hedman. So I mentioned Hedman. Ultimately, it has been the defensemen who have led the way, but Hedman has five shots, which leads the team. 11 shot attempts also leads the team. And he's played 4 to 6 minutes, which, again, leads the team. So that's where I'm at for all these, you know, just individual props. Quickly on the way out, you know, just a lot of these shot props are, you know, it's been shot props all year for me. I've been loving the shot props, and we've been having success with them. But now that there's just one game and you can't parlay them on most books, it's just not really worth it. A lot of them are juiced up, like, you know, minus one. I think Nichushkin's going to get three shots tonight? Yes, I do. But at minus 161, minus 165, it's really tough. Over at FanDuel, you can take players for like 2+, and you can parlay that into like 2-1, almost 3-1 if you pick four guys. I would pick Nichushkin, and you can't pick MacKinnon because he's at like, you'd have to get other guys at 4+. You're not going to get Nate at 2+. Like, this is too juiced. So I think Nichushkin, I think Palat, I think Hedman, and I think Kyle Makar. Those guys are all getting opportunities. Ice time is there for the two defensemen in Makar and for Hedman. And Nichushkin's just on a run. Like, he's just absolutely feeling it right now. The shot attempts are there. He's hit a couple of bars. He's looked really, really good. So I think we continue to ride him out. Hopefully we see an exciting game. Daily Handle, you're on 5-3 Tampa. I think we can get something like that. You know, maybe an empty net goal or something. But let's not count out the champs, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs just yet. I know it's been really tough. It's really tough. I saw it here this morning. I'm like, how am I going to justify the Lightning winning this game tonight? And it's really just the experience that they have, the home ice factor, going back home, and the fact that they got spanked 7-0. So, but have some fun with those props and some parlays. I do believe with the two games so far hitting the over at 6, I think that's the way to go. Have some fun with some assist props and point props. We got a whole lot more in our FTN bet tracker as well. And we'll break and we'll dive into some MLB props here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. A lot of intriguing matchups in Major League Baseball today. If I set off the top, right, we got McClanahan and Cole. These guys got really high strikeout props, 8.5 for Cole, 7.5 for McClanahan. I think he can get back to the 8 against the Yankees. This is tough. I don't want to, like, give a strikeout prop at 8, but, you know, I'm going to do it as a sucker. Just because I love this guy. He's hit a strikeout prop at every start but one. Like I said earlier, we got Webb against Fried, San Fran, Atlanta, like a pretty intriguing matchup. We got the Bluebirds against the White Sox, you know, team playoff aspirations for both squads. And you got Lance Lynn, who got roughed up in that first outing of his season against Detroit, a team that really, I mean, 10 hits, 3 runs, he got rocked. And it was his first start, and expect him to be a little bit better. But I think there's some value with the Bluebirds here, with some of their guys against Lance Lynn, who may be a little rusty again. And then also the Red Sox. So I got to put together a couple MLB props, and it's kind of superstar heavy here with Devers, Vlad, Trout, Red Sox over, and then Devers again with the home run, a little bit of a bonus, maybe like a 0.5, 0.25 units on the home run. So I'll just start with Devers, you know, against right-handed pitching so far. I mean, he's up against Alex Fadeo of the Detroit Tigers here, 44 hits, 19 runs, 6 homers in 40 innings. He's got a 44% fly ball rate. Devers has been really good against righties. In fact, those three hitters for the Red Sox, they're really strong, like Devers, JD, and Xander. They're all inside the top 10 in hits against right-handed pitching so far this season. But Devers got 16 doubles. He's got a triple and 13 homers. He leads the Red Sox with 30 extra base hits against righties so far. So minus 125 for Rafael Devers. You can take him over at Prize Picks if you want, over 1.5 total bases. And then I just, you know, this is from DraftKings, minus 125. So even Xander's got 20 extra base hits. JD's got 23 extra base hits with 6 bombs. I would take a look at those three guys. Xander's got the plus money. Devers is a little bit juice at minus 125, and you get minus 110 for JD. Just a really good spot, as I mentioned. And then Vlad Guerrero up against Lance Lynn. So Guerrero's just heating up. He's got 4 homers over the past week and a half, plus money. understand that maybe he could walk a guy or two, but you know, the White Sox bullpen hasn't been all that great. They got some injuries, and Lance Lynn, as I mentioned, just struggled in his first start. And I think that could carry over here with the Jays, maybe riding some momentum from last night with that 10 spot and the big comeback win. But Vlad is feeling it. I considered Bo. Those are the two guys that I like against right-handed pitching up against Lance Lynn. And, you know, the Red Sox over 5.5 run implied total there at plus money as well. Again, just a really good spot. Fideo gave up like 7 runs in his last outing, and I mentioned that 44% fly ball rate could get in trouble against the Red Sox, big three hitters. And then Mike Trout, let's ride this out. He's absolutely hot, right? 5 homers over his last 5 games. Chris Bubic on the hill for the Kansas City Royals. He's got an 85% contact rate. He's just been absolutely rocked all year. You know, looking at some of his Fangraph numbers, you know, he's striking out 7/9, but he's walking nearly 6/9 in 28 innings. He's given up 35 hits and 26 earned runs, at least 3 runs in his last 2 starts, and at least 3 runs in 5 of his last 7 starts. And for Mike Trout, against lefties so far this season, a .352 average, a .491 WOBA, and a .230 WRC plus. It's like video game like. So that's kind of what I'm riding with, you know, kind of just riding the superstars. We do have a few more MLB props and picks in our FTN bet tracker. And if you have the package, you get the NHL picks, you get the MLB picks, you get the PGA picks, you get tools, projections, all that good stuff over at FTN bets. We're going to switch gears one more time and wrap up with the Philadelphia Eagles. Look at them from a betting standpoint and a fantasy football standpoint as well here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Let's continue the NFL team previews, and we will ride with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, you see the Eagles banner behind me. I'm going to be true with you guys here. 9.5 is a little steep, but I do believe that they are in play to win the NFC East. I think they have closed the gap in the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about the Cowboys on Friday. I don't believe that the roster is as nice for Dallas. I do believe they should be favored, but I think the Eagles, like I said, closed the gap with a really, really strong offseason. Free prop shop. Points bet offering plus +230. I'm seeing over at DraftKings is like plus +190, plus +180. So, you know, chop around, but chop around over at FTN Bets with the free prop shop and parlay calculator. 14-1 win the NFC in the Super Bowl, 30-1. I don't believe that they're a Super Bowl contending team, but I think the NFC is fairly weak, to be honest with you. I think that they're are a lot of weak teams, and I do believe that they could maybe not only win the division, but also, you know, make the playoffs. At minus -150, it's a little steep, but that is a bet that I like if you can parlay a couple teams to make the playoffs. I do believe the Eagles are one. A lot of offseason additions. A.J. Brown was the biggest offseason addition. They acquired him at the trade deadline. You know, they had a couple picks, and they got themselves a couple more first-round picks next year as well in case things don't work out with Jalen Hurts. You know, some positive reports in camp about Jalen Hurts working out with Tom Brady in the offseason, getting the ball out a little bit quicker. Year 2 inside this offense as a starter with Nick Sirianni. And then A.J. Brown, who's just a beast. So Hassan Reddick, I thought, was a nice pickup. And James Bradbury. And then Chukwuemeka Tart, from San Fran, defensive back, play safety. I think that was a nice little underrated pickup, which just happened over the weekend as well. But for Reddick, you know, the pass rush was really Philadelphia's issue last year near the bottom in sacks. The offensive line is still intact. It's still really good. Jason Kelce is back for another season. You know, that's the strength. They were the number one rushing team in football last year. You know, Jalen Hurts had a big part of that because he led the NFL among quarterbacks in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. He was great. But this is a team that did play to their strengths. Took a little bit for Sirianni, a rookie coach, the youngest coaching staff in the NFL last year in terms of defensive coordinator, head coach, offensive coordinator, all guys 40 and under. So year 2 now together, learning from some things. At the start of the season, this team just didn't run the football. It was Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady. I mentioned earlier Tom Brady with the dropbacks. Jalen Hurts was right there, dropping back, chucking the ball a ton. To who? Smith, rookie wide receiver, Ertz, Goddard. Goddard was hurt a bit, traded Ertz, got nothing from Jalen Reagor. He's an afterthought. He's not going to do anything for them again this year. A great addition now, an alpha in A.J. Brown. Smith, who I think is a terrific route runner, going to see a lot of just one-on-one. You know, last year as a rookie, saw a lot of top corners. This year, I think he's going to be open quite a bit. I don't believe he's going to lead the Eagles in targets. We'll talk about A.J. Brown a little bit more in the next segment here, but the addition of Reddick, I just think, is extremely huge. 11 sacks last season. 23.5 sacks since 2020 are tied for the 5th most in the NFL. Philly finished 31st last year in sacks with 29. So it's an extremely, I can't state it anymore. It was a great pickup, and it was something that they clearly needed. And then James Bradbury, who the Giants said, okay, bye-bye, who had a pretty good season, with the Giants last year, comes over and can play opposite of "Don't call me Darius, my name is actually Slay." I don't know if you guys have seen that. The NFL tweeted it out last week. Just, I mean, I don't know what is up. Like, all the reporters can take Darius. It's not Darius, it's Slay. Well, change your name to Slay then. But honestly, 25th in total DVOA defense, Football Outsiders against the pass, 18th rush DVOA against the run. Overall, that's still Philly's weakness defensively. But ultimately, they did improve with these additions in Reddick and Bradberry. So, love the roster. I think Eagles fans should be excited about the squad. And we'll talk about them from an offensive standpoint, if they can take a step forward, and which fantasy football targets you want to target in your draft. So we'll round out with a couple players from Philly, and we'll take a look at their ADPs here over the last 6 weeks in high-stakes leagues. One more segment here on Mean Streets. Welcome back in. All right, it is the same old me. Only got a couple minutes here to wrap up Mean Streets. But here's their targets of Philadelphia Eagles from a fantasy perspective, NFFC leagues, high-stakes leagues, last 6 weeks of the season. Jalen Hurts, quarterback, number 9, ADP 73. Love this guy. Absolutely love him. Led the NFL in rushing yards last season. There's a lot to like about Jalen Hurts, honestly. 784 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns. He finishes quarterback 9 and quarterback 5 in fantasy points per game. I think he's a top 5 quarterback. I got him as quarterback 3. I don't think I'm being biased at all. I just love the rushing upside that he has, and also bringing in a guy like AJ Brown. Are you kidding me? An alpha to go along with Devonta Smith on the other side. I think it's a really good 1-2 punch. I think Dallas Goedert is really good as well. The one guy that's a fade for me on this list is, though, Dallas Goedert. Tight end 9 is just, it's extremely rich for me. I'd kind of just wait it out. If I'm not grabbing Andrews or Pitts, I would just wait it out for like a Cole Kmet, a breakout candidate. It's just a lot. I just don't think that Philly's going to chuck the ball all that much. They are going to run the rock, lean on the offensive line. Jalen Hurts is going to call his own numbers. So ultimately, I don't think that the targets will be there for Dallas Goedert. I think Smith is interesting, you know, a little bit more interesting from a best ball standpoint. You want to stack the Eagles, you can really get it done. You get AJ Brown within the first 30 picks, and then you can get Hurts and Smith pretty easily. And then, you know, you have to make the decision with Smith and Goddard. I just think there's more upside with Smith. I think he's going to be open 24/7. Like, he's a great route runner. The attention is going to be on AJ Brown. I think there's a lot really to like about him ultimately from a fantasy standpoint. In year number 2, learning a whole lot, and a quarterback in Hurts that he's obviously very, very familiar with, having played together, you know, in college. For Miles Sanders, quickly on the way out here, 8.7 fantasy points per game over the first 12 games, but he churned out 754 rushing yards and 5.5 yards per carry, was tied for second with Taylor and Chubb. In his rookie season, he was, you know, pretty elite. You know, some of his numbers, 4.6 yards per carry, 50 plus grabs, you know, 400 plus receiving yards, 800 rushing yards. He was one of 4 players to do that. And then in year number 2, he was one of 3 players with Chubb and with Henry to have like 5 runs of 50 plus yards, 0 touchdowns. All I'll say is on the way out here is that he's just going too late. Attack running back early if you want, RB1, and then hammer wide receiver in the next couple rounds. And then Sanders is sitting there around round 7 or round 8 as your RB2 or flex. I think it's pretty good value. He is a great running back. He's playing, you know, you can say what you want, playing for a contract, but, you know, he is playing to put food on the table for his family. And the Eagles may not sign him, so they may run him into the ground a little bit. I think it's terrific value. Doesn't need to be a target for you, but if you leave your draft with him and you got 4 or 5 stud wide receivers that you attack from rounds 2 to 5, 2 to 6, I think you'd be in pretty good shape. I do like where he's going in drafts. Thanks for taking the time to hang out here today. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.